This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Hope you are having a great Thursday. We certainly are. This hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We got a lot to dive into. Garth Lagerwey is going to join us in less than 12 minutes from now. And he is the president and CEO of our Atlanta United squad. They have a chance to do something nobody thought they'd do on Sunday, taking on Orlando and advancing in these MLS playoffs. But he's got a big decision to make as to where this franchise goes and what it's going to look like moving forward. We will talk to him about the match and much more. We had a great conversation with Brad Guzan. For those who missed it yesterday, and 17s Atlanta United fans, stand up. This team has been up and down, but right now we are riding this wave, Mike, of success. And listen, for us, Mike and I, we've been down since day one. We want to see this team go to the MLS championship game and potentially bring home another trophy. It would be an incredible story considering where we've been. And then, right, Mike, let's build and be good for the long term.
And I know that we've talked about it. And I'm not sure Gart's going to give us an answer later this hour, but we'll ask and we'll try and we'll make the case for, which I think it's pretty easy to do, Rob Valentino. You know, anytime he's been thrown into the interim job, it's because things haven't gone right with the previous coach or the roster's jacked up or injuries. And this time around, I mean, he's hit pay dirt.
Yep.
And I just don't understand. And I'll say it to you now, and I'll say it to Garth. I'll save my breath. But why bother spending Arthur Blank's money on some coach who may or may not work for millions more than what you got in the house, who seems to figure out how you make these guys work, right?
I think it is. It is going to be, just like with Darren Eales, who went through this a couple of different times, his biggest decision since he's become president. Because, Mike, these are the decisions that define your organization. And if we continue to go through managers, which, again, every soccer team seemingly does, but when you get one and you find one that works and it makes sense and things are going the way you should be looking for a manager every 2 years. And so hopefully that is our situation. Garth's going to join us coming up. We'll talk plenty about what's going on in college football. People are still talking about the committee and the decisions, and we'll dive into that because we got some big games coming up this weekend. Now, Georgia with UMass, listen, you think they're going to handle their business, and they should. But the other games surrounding how this playoff might look, there are some big ones, and we'll get into that. But, Mike, last night the Hawks fall 120-97 to the Golden State Warriors, and literally this thing was over after the first quarter.
We didn't play defense.
That's correct.
Okay, so you know all those good things I said this week about the Hawks? Forget I said all those things.
It was, they were shooting lights out. Golden State was playing great. We weren't. And when your stars don't play well, and Trey didn't last night, 4-for-12 with just 12 points, you're not going to win games. And so as a team, we just shot 26% from the three-point line and 33% from the field. Guys, those are not great numbers for those of you who are not following. And Golden State was shooting lights out.
Yeah, we shot 42 and change the other night in the win against Sacramento. So from Sactown to the Bay Area and then back down. Yeah, that's just brutal. And it was kind of tough because if you watch the first 5 minutes, we couldn't hit anything. You're looking for some momentum. Yeah, look, you're not going to maybe win or lose. Yes, you could lose the game in the first quarter, Carl. They missed everything to start the game.
They did. And so,
and I blame the floor. That between the corresponding lines of the Golden Gate Bridge overlaid with the arc and the painted area, I would get dizzy coming up the floor.
I didn't like the floor. I don't like our floor, to be honest with you.
No,
if you've seen our NBA Cup floor, I just feel like the three-point line's hidden. We could have added some more red, more color to it. Either way, I agree with you. Their floor is terrible. Celtics' floor, have you seen theirs? It's like all green.
That's tight. That one cuts glass, though. You know what? You know you're on a Boston basketball court.
Correct, and that's the thing. So let me hear Steph Curry being Steph Curry last night. This put him up 116-90. Again, Hawks lose at Golden State. Yeah, I wish. Steve Holman, I wish. Here's what's crazy about this. And, you know, every time you go, well, the Warriors aren't going to make another run. Well, they're done. They've won their four championships in, you know, 6 years or 8 years or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be any good. Guys, they're the best team right now in the Western Conference. And I don't know if it'll be that way at the end of the year, Mike. And that is without the other brother. That is Clay. He's gone.
Right. And, you know, they got the money, and they'll find a way. If they want to tweak it at the trade deadline, they will, because they've always found a great way to bring in and augment it, you know, going all the way back to Iguodala, right,
yep,
back in the
That's
day.
Right.
So, I mean, I think they'll be fine. And Trey, as you say, Curry. Now, again, as far as, you know, we talk about load management, the old Popovich thing. Yeah, you find a way to rest Curry so he's right and ready to go when it matters. Remember, guys, he had no time off. He played all the way through the summer.
He did.
That's one. I know we hate it, but if you're going to rest guys at home, fine. Just don't rest it when I get the one chance to see you on the East Coast.
I totally agree. Last night, Richashay 12. Jalen Johnson was back for 15. D. Hunter, 10.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. Now, again, it was a beatdown. Even if he goes for 30, we're still getting smoked in that
it
one.
It was ugly. 41-22 was the first quarter score, and they jumped out, and then they outscored us, except for the third quarter. We come out and score 33 points to the 23, but at the end of the day, they come up short. Next up, by the way, Bulls, and then, you know, the Thanksgiving Day, or Thanksgiving week, should I say, big week for the Hawks. Cavs come in, Mike. That's an NBA Cup game. And then I think they have another game at home. So next week, they get back here. But next up are the Bulls. Bottom line is, when you think things are going well and you feel really good about yourself after that Kings win, Warriors kind of put you back in your place. And you see,
right,
are we a championship caliber team? No, not yet. We're not even close to that. But I feel like we're going to be competitive enough to do more in the Eastern Conference than we have
maybe,
in years past.
Maybe it was too much sourdough in San Francisco.
That'll
fill you up.
Could be.
I don't know. Either way, yeah, that was
it's
there
a great
was,
food town, man.
Oof, the best. The best, Jerry. Yeah, man, it's just, you know, I mean, this one is, I'm not selling you the Hawks, guys. As we say, we don't work for the Falcons. We are on the flagship. We're not getting paid by them. We just thought there were some really good things that we saw earlier this year, and I still think you're not defined. We're only 20% through the season. But, yeah, that one was one that you just burned that tape.
All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Find us on social media. We invite you to. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station, guys, at 929 The Game, and stay up on everything that's going on. Real quick, Mike, you know, you've been saying that Georgia should be upset with the college football playoff. You've been upset with the criteria. Real quick, I want you to hear Paul Feinbaum talk about this, because he is calling out also the committee and saying the team that should be most upset, considering the team that they beat last weekend, mm-hmm, was a top-ranked team in Tennessee. This is Feinbaum talking about it. And that's why you've been saying if Georgia has to go to Happy Valley.
Right.
They're going to handle business.
I believe so. And look, that's the first time I've agreed with anything that man has said in about 10 years. Meanwhile, an hour ago, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, Greg Sankey, puts this out on Twitter. Interesting to read analysis from others as they examine, quote, strength of schedule, end quote, in college football. It does seem there is a trend to be identified. He takes a number of the old things we saw in the BCS, like the Sagarin and the Massey, along with ESPN strength of schedule, and he basically cut and paste it. Number one, Georgia.
Mm.
Number two, Alabama. Number three, Tennessee. Number four, Texas A&M. Number five, Ole Miss. Number six, Texas.
All SEC?
Seems to be a trend here. Now, this is basically using three respected strength of schedule monitoring, because, again, everyone's got their own, to measure it. Meanwhile, Penn State, average 40. Ohio State, strength of schedule, average 47.7. Miami, 55. Notre Dame, 72. Indiana, 83. 1 versus 83. Now, I know I did go to Florida State and I did get kicked out. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it's pretty self-explanatory. He's not lying. And I know, as
he's
we said,
lying.
As we said yesterday, Carl, it is the drive conversation. But how do we know that they still? You're telling me all of a sudden when it matters, they're going to wait the strength of schedule. I'm worried about these guys. I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, listen, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that strength of schedule that you're talking about, and more than likely, as I've talked about with Georgia beating, you know, three top 25 teams, is going to come into play at the end when the season is done, and they go, oh, look at what they did this season, and the full resume is complete. Right now, to say that and put them in front of either one of those teams, Ole Miss or Alabama, it doesn't make sense. And I have no issues with that, with the committee. I think that's fine.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fine. The other part of this, though, is what Greg Sankey is saying is we have the best league in the country, and we're being disrespected by the way that you guys are handling these rankings right now. And we don't like it, and so let me help you. And that's why he put that out there. Listen, Sankey doesn't put a whole lot of stuff out there unless it's, you know, some kind of thing that's going to help the SEC in some way, shape, or form. Rules, regulations, et cetera. NIL portal. Right. This is purposely done to say, hey, committee.
Right.
Hey.
He's the second or third most, depending on who you're talking to, most important guy in all of college football.
Totally agree.
Maybe the number two. Maybe the number one. You know, it's either him or the conference chief of the Big Ten. But, yeah, he basically puts it out there. You said it early. Even Sankey, you know, Sankey kind of looked down, put his glasses down on the bridge of his nose and said, enough with the faking injuries after what we saw with Ole Miss. You know, he says that's not how the SEC works, and that was a message that was received.
Yeah. I like it. I hope you do, too. Bottom line, though, is when it's done, that's when this should come into play. And that's when you look at that and you go, wow, the top five teams, the strength of schedule? Okay, so let's rearrange this. And the other thing is, let's be honest, the committee has to be careful. You don't want to put all these SEC teams up against each other in the first round of the playoff. You want to make sure that, hey, there is a chance, as I've told you guys, there might be some rematches here. You say you don't want to see Georgia, Texas? Guess what? Committee's like, that's intriguing. Mm-hmm. You don't want to see Oregon, Ohio State again? The committee's like, that might look good somewhere else. So I think those things will play, but I also think the teams that are deserving, and we won't know fully, Mike, until after 2 weeks from now, who those teams are, that's when that's going to come into
play.
And
as we said, look, if Indiana shocks the world and can beat the Buckeyes.
You give them no shot?
No, zero. Nada.
To win the game,
I don't think James Madison transfers are going to cut it against Ohio State, Penn State.
Shots fired!
You know, and the rest of the, like, it's a nice story for Cignetti, but he basically took half of his roster, not half, but he took like seven or eight big playmakers from a James Madison team and put it onto, as we said, Indiana's always been a solid team. They're just not at the level of Michigan and Ohio State.
No, it's true. And listen, I like the Indiana story. As a matter of fact, I picked them a couple of times, I think, or this year.
Right, they've been covering the spread. They've got good defense. Yeah.
But I don't disagree with your assessment. Although I do think they're better than people think they are. Right. Now, is that good enough to beat Ohio State? At Ohio State? I don't think so either. All right. We'll find out. Coming up, we got a lot more to dive into. Garth Lagerwey is going to join us. We have questions. Will we get answers? Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Happy Thursday, everybody. We're going to talk some more football coming up. Stay tuned. More dog conversation as well. But let's talk to Garth Lagerwey right now as he joins us. And Atlanta United gets ready for the biggest match of the year. 3:30 at Orlando. Our coverage begins at 2:30. Five stripes countdown right here. And then at 1 o'clock, we have a Wade Ford tailgate show at 1 o'clock. It's a special Atlanta United edition of the Wade Ford tailgate show. So lots of coverage here on Sunday for you guys on the radio station. Garth, welcome in. It's good to have you. Before we get into all the things we want to talk about, congratulations. I know we did not know where this was going to go with this team, but this is what sports is about. This is why they play the games. I want to know, do you feel like when the change happened or what happened with our club that has propelled us to this point?
Look, a lot of credit to Rob Valentino and his staff. They've done a great job instilling belief in the guys, and credit to the players. The players were really they didn't get down. They believed. They kept showing up. And, you know, sports is the greatest reality show in the universe. And this is why. And you get a little group with some belief, and you put it together, and away we go.
All right, big guy, let's get out of the way right now. I understand that you know, he's been interim twice, and sometimes when you're an interim, you're obviously you're inheriting a pretty bad situation or a transitional situation at best. I mean, certainly the players love this guy and what he's been able to accomplish. Why bother going to Europe or elsewhere to find some guy that's going to cost you more money than potentially what you could do with Rob Valentino and just make him your coach?
Hey, you know what? The good news is I've been in this situation before, hard as that is believed. 2016, Seattle Sounders. Hired Brian Schmetzer as the interim coach, and he wound up winning the title, and we wound up working together for the next 7 or 8 years. So, look, this is a matter of going through the process, making sure you find the right guy, and there's no rush right now. We want to focus on the team. We want to focus on trying to win a championship, doing everything we can, and Rob and I have a really good relationship. I've really enjoyed working with him, and we'll sit down after the season. We'll figure it out.
So what wouldn't make you hire him? Like, what is it? What qualities do you think you need in our next manager that maybe he doesn't possess or that you feel like you're looking for and maybe that are not in the building?
Look, I don't think there's any quality that Rob doesn't possess. He's done great. I have nothing but good things to say about him. What I would say is that Rob, by his age and by his experience, is less experienced than some other guys in the league. You know, if he gets the permanent job, he'd be the second youngest head coach in the league. And at Atlanta United, we're not in the business of taking chances. You know, we are not going to take flyers on people. We have the ability, because of our fan base, because of our track record, because of the resources we have as a big club, we can get proven outcomes. And look, Rob has a chance to prove himself. He's doing it. He's in the process of it. And no one's saying that he isn't proving it so far. It's how far can he take it? And look, if he's takes it all the way and he wins it, then that's the easiest decision for me that I've ever had to make. You know, then we get no controversy, no proving anything. Then he's a proven winner, and away we go.
It is the boss, El Jefe. It is Garth Lagerwey, guys, from Atlanta United, taking on Orlando City, as Carl mentioned, here right here on 92.9 The Game this weekend. Some of the new pieces that you were able to bring in, obviously Saba and some of the guys look great. I mean, are you going to go heavy and spend some loot when it goes to the designated players for this next season?
Absolutely. You know, that's definitely the intention. And look, in addition to that coach hire, we're going to make a GM hire. So when we get those folks on board, and hopefully our head coach is in-house already, and Rob, we'll see how it plays out. But then, we're looking to add as many as 2 DPs in this offseason, and we have some salary cap money to spend. The sale of Caleb Wiley got us some GM, which is the magic salary cap money. So, you know, we got a lot of options. We got a lot of ways to improve the team going forward, and we want to see first how far this group can take it, because that'll have a lot of influence on how we want to build it going forward. There's a bunch of guys that have put their hand up over the last month and said, you know, hey, I'm committed to Atlanta United. I want to stay here. I think I can play in front of this big crowd, and that's been really encouraging.
Yeah, and obviously you have in your mind, I know you do, a plan in which you want to build it, like the vision. In simple terms, can you explain what that might look like without getting into specific players? Because we know those things could change, and it's good to know that you've talked with guys that who you know want to be here. That's a big part of it, and they're not looking to get out of here a year or two from now. But what does that look like in simple terms?
Yeah, look, it's stuff like built through the spine, built on the middle of the team, right? And we had a key piece in Alexis Marancic in the last summer window, added a key piece in Pedro Amador, the Pedro plays in the wide spot. You know, but we added Gregerson and Sleash at the beginning of the year. You know, so I think we might look to add to some of our attacking options potentially. You know, Brad Guzan's been amazing in goal. We haven't talked about him yet. You know, nope. He's led a real renaissance of our entire defense and his leadership I think especially in that Miami series is just, you know, bar none the best I've seen. Confronting, standing up to Messi, Suarez, these international superstars, and not giving them an inch. And I really think that the rest of the group was inspired by that. It was really, really impressive. So, look, I think you guys mentioned Saba. I think we got a bunch of good pieces. Unfortunately, Brooks Lennon's going to be out for a little bit. That's right. A pretty significant injury he's got to his shoulder. But, again, we'll sit down at the end of the season. Let's see how far we get, man.
Right.
If we win the thing, then we're going to keep a whole bunch of people. And if we don't, then we'll have to make some harder decisions.
And as we said, like we don't fault you for bringing in some competition, you know, for Brad this year. As guys get older, it's great to see him, you know, respond to it. And that's what you want to see from an athlete. And then finally, Garth, you know, we've asked you this before, but just now as we're into this playoffs and it seems making a great run, the vision that you had. I mean, I said I don't want to speak for you, but I felt like when guys asked me about United, I said Garth didn't want to come in here and just start breaking the place up, be like a bullet in a china shop. But is it now that you've got a measure of control to kind of put this team together the way it's truly in your vision?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we wanted to be very thoughtful, methodical. You know, as you said, I did not want to come in here and just burn the place down. There's too much pedigree and tradition here. And, you know, we are still, you know, we went 5 years without winning a playoff series. But now we've done that, right? So we've taken a step forward. We made the playoffs last year at least, you know, knocked out a number one seed this year. So we're making forward progress. But we got to do more, right? I mean, part of what I'm doing is just kind of coming in and trying to raise the standard again and saying, hey, with the resources we have, with the support from ownership we have from Arthur Blank, our expectations have to be higher. Our expectations have to be we have the potential to win a playoff series every year. And really resetting that mentality has really been a part of that process. And in terms of how we build going forward, we're going to try to build a balanced team. We're going to try to build an attacking team. We're going to try to build a fast team. Look, soccer is most entertaining when the ball is moving and when the ball is moving quickly. It's like a good hockey game. It's like a good basketball game. You know, sports are sports.
Right.
And, you know, when we had that game two at home, when you play games of consequence in front of 70,000 people, that's how you build your fan base, and that's what we're going to build a team to do.
Garth, we know you got to run, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us. Appreciate you. Thank you, and good luck this weekend. We're all cheering you on.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate your support.
You got absolutely. He just said that Rob Valentino's age and his experience may come into play. That's what I got out of Garth Lagaway answering the question again. What is it that that he doesn't do, or that maybe a quality that he doesn't have that maybe you're looking for?
Right.
And he said he has all the qualities. He just may not be as experienced as some of the people that we are looking at. Okay, I appreciate that. That's fine. Sometimes I think experience is overrated. Sometimes I think in cases where guys or companies or you're looking for a specific individual and you think that they absolutely have to have experience – Mike, I think sometimes you're looking down the wrong way. You've got to accept what's in front of you sometimes and say, he may not have all the experience that you know, candidate A, B, and C has, but I'm going to give him a shot to do this. And I think, to be honest with you, what he also said, Mike, is he don't want to screw this up. He's trying not to fail so he doesn't have to do this again next year or 2 years from now.
And that's just it. I mean, unless you're going to get a guy who, first of all, you have a vision. He just said, you know, I think he knows what Atlanta wants, an attacking style. I think Tata's brand has taken too many hits over the years. I think that ship has sailed, right, as far as, you know, the idea to even bring Tata back here. Tata, by the way, I don't know if he walked out on his own or was just told by Miami, we're done here, after blowing what they did, the greatest team, the supporters' shield down there for Inter. But in case you're wondering, great name, by the way, it was Siggy Schmid was the former manager of Seattle, and then he left. And then the next guy that came in was Brian Schmetzer, and then Schmetzer got the interim tag removed and became the guy. So there is, to Agard's point, a precedent. If a guy continues to show what he's looking for, then there you go. I hope Valentino gets the gig.
404-726-0929. And by the way, when you have the biggest upset in maybe MLS history, that should mean something. It should stand for something. Like, if you were going to say, hey, what gets me this job, right? That should mean something. It has nothing to do with Sunday. Guys, if they win or lose Sunday, it should have nothing to do with it. He took over a situation that was a blank show. And all of a sudden, the team is playing better. And all of a sudden, things feel better. And guys are coming out and saying as much. And
right.
Then you go do that. Like, again, I'd love to see them win on Sunday, but even if they don't, I still feel the same way about Rob Valentino. We'll see where they go and what happens. And if they do win, again, that even puts more pressure on Garth Lagerwey and company. What's up, Big O?
Well, he said just kind of straight up, it would be the easiest decision he can make if they end up winning this whole thing.
Because then, you know what? you don't have to make excuses for why you're sitting around the conference table and going, all right, why shouldn't we hire him? We just want it. I mean, that's easy. He's right about that. I think right now he's still saying, why shouldn't we hire him? And there are things that they're marking down, Mike, that say, hey, maybe we should talk to these other guys for this reason or that reason. Either way, we'll see what Atlanta United does on Sunday.
Hey, man, you and I were talking off the air today. We'll get into the conversation here on the show, but some big recruiting news today in the world of college football. A huge feather in the cap of Coach Prime. And Carl and I got a question for you about Georgia football.
All right.
And I want to get your honest. Now you lie to me too if you want.
I will.
Get your honest answer on that coming up.
All right, man. That's on the way. We got to get our daily download, and we will tell you what the latest is going on in the world of sports, including Hawks losing last night on the road. Stay there. Chris Sale, big award. We talked about it at the end of the show yesterday. For those who missed it, congratulations again to Chris Sale, Cy Young Award winner. More on that coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about what's happening around the National Football League. Mike has an interesting question that we will certainly get to here on the show. Real quick, 17s, Atlanta United fans hitting us up, Mike. Feeling like the non-committal thing?
Means no. When you're a kid, and, like, mom would drag me to the mall or something. No, she wanted to get something. I'm tagging along. She's like, can we get a Matchbox car? Can I get a Hot Wheels? We'll see. That means no.
Yeah.
We'll see as adults speak for no. And I think it's general manager speak for no as well.
That's how a lot of listeners and certainly people that follow Atlanta United feel, at least right now, after hearing Garth Lagerwey. Again, here's the thing. Some of us, right, many of you had to work for your opportunity.
Right.
And that is what's going on with Rob Valentino. He's actually on the job working for his opportunity. But as I've said, even in the NFL, think about this. NBA, think about all the sports you pay attention to. Interim guy gets the job. They have success. And then how often do they still move away from the interim guy?
Right.
It happens more times than not.
Right.
So because of what's on the outside looks more appealing versus, we'll just stay the course. And even here with the Falcons, think about it. When Dan Quinn got fired, right, Rob was the interim coach. He didn't get the job here. So, you know, those things happen in every sport. And it wouldn't surprise me if that happens with Rob Valentino. But I'll just be disappointed because I think he's done a hell of a job.
But when you go to this level of – when you have this level of success that he's attained.
Yep.
And as you said, I mean, again, the MLS history, it's less than 30 years. But this is the greatest upset, you know, in the history of the sport. So how do you not, you know, roll down and say, yes, this is my guy. I commit to it. And I guess you could argue, and I brought this up to you the other day, when Rich Rodriguez leaves from Michigan, West Virginia goes with Bill Stewart, who was an older coach. Remember, they had a pep rally one time at Stats, and we got to meet the guy, and a nice guy. But at the time, you know, and he died, he died like only 59 when he went, very, very young. But he was a guy that wasn't really considered like an elite level coach. And some folks said, they're prisoner of the moment. And it kind of was because he didn't really build off it. And West Virginia kind of went backwards ever since.
Lots more to get to, guys, here on the program. As we mentioned in the 3 o'clock hour, Greg Allman is going to join us, Fox Sports NFL reporter, covers the entire league. We'll talk to him about not only the NFC South, but also what he's seeing around the league as we get ready for some big matchups starting tonight, as a matter of fact. Steelers, Browns tonight on Thursday night.
What's your level of interest on this one?
Well, look, I want to see if the Steelers maintain. Like, good teams don't have letdowns like that, right, Mike? We talked about it. You win a big game against the Ravens at home, shouldn't have a letdown against the Browns. Now, I don't think they will because Mike Tomlin's the coach, and that just doesn't happen. So we'll see, but here's the problem. You guys feel this win and all this stuff we're getting, right? Mm-hmm. Weather's supposed to be crappy, which means it could be an ugly game. And if you're asking me who's going to win an ugly game, then I'm going to ride with the Steelers to win an ugly game.
Yeah, and they're only – is it? Am I reading this right? Is it 3.5? 3.5-point faves?
Yep.
Wow. Seems like a sucker bet. I've dealt with a lot of those, Carl. Yeah. Matter of fact, when we do the picks tomorrow, I believe I am like 4 picks away from being eliminated for the season. That's how bad
it's been.
Did you
lose all the games?
Yeah, I went 0-3.
Oh, I didn't know
everything.
That.
I mean, all three. And it was only 2 were bad beats. 1 was not even close. But and ironically, I was trying to be a Weisenheimer after you picked Memphis over – who'd you pick? I don't remember who it was.
Yes.
Over Rice.
And oh, yeah, that's right.
And I took Louisiana Lafayette over Southern Alabama just to be a Weisenheimer.
Well, you said they needed that game.
And it was big. And then Southern Alabama, who was like, you know, a big-time 7-point dog, rose up. And Lafayette was just stepping on their – yeah. Anyway, the over-under on this game is only 36.5, considering the weather issues.
Yeah,
so, and they're not expecting the Browns to score any points.
That's the thing. And they really haven't. So we'll talk more about it along the way. NFL Blitz is on the way. And also, we're going to do this.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
The thing that Raheem Morris needs to say to his team coming out of the bye week. We'll tell you more about it. It's time for the Daily Download.
Story number one.
How can this be the first time that he's won the award after being in the running year after year after year? But that is the case for Braves pitcher Chris Sale, who wins the Cy Young Award for the first time. Here's what he said about winning it.
It means a lot. It's a special night, you know, obviously, you know, having Maddux announce it, being the Atlanta guy and, you know, having a guy I looked up to and, you know, early in my career and having Peeve here, you know, on the panel, it means a lot. So this is a special night.
I love this dude simply because he doesn't complain, he doesn't talk, right. He just does his job. He shows up, we need a big start, Chris. No problem. Goes out, 7 strikeouts, last 7 innings. I mean, he just does, that's what who he was this year, which is why he was deserving. Every time we needed a stopper, Mike, he was the guy.
Right.
And for everything that I love about Max Fried, it's the inconsistency and the injuries that have kept him from being this. Max Fried has the talent to win a Cy Young, guys. But it's that can you do it for a full season?
Yeah, and I know that, look, you're never going to take a shot at a guy that was the money man like Tom Glavine was back in 95, that he was in 2021. But he's not been the same guy since. He hasn't been able to give you as many of those starts because of little minor injuries and dings and things like that. But when you look at the market, guys like that still get paid. And I think you and I were talking about, yes, it was 6 years, 136 was something that either Baseball News or Sporting News had said was a number. A lot of guys feel on the open market, if it becomes a bidding war, it goes north of 150, which, of course, keeps the Braves out of it.
Sale, the first Brave to win the award since Tom Glavine in 98. Braves pitchers have taken home the honor 8 times. Guys, going back to Warren Spahn in 1957.
He's got some dog in him. You know, you knew that from covering baseball. You talked about it when we got him. And you just wish that translated to this team once the starters went out. You know, I mean, you wish Austin Riley was a little more vocal before he got hurt and just be that guy with some edge and set the tone. Yeah, Freddie. Be Freddie-like. Freddie might be a pain in the butt in the clubhouse, but you need that in this team. And Sale's a guy that's got it, but unfortunately don't play every day.
No doubt. Here is Chris Sale talking about his family, me and my family, and coaching staff and how they all helped him.
Yeah, I mean, talk about motivation, right? You know, to be able to show my sons the hard work, dedication, and, you know, not giving up. You know, my wife having my back the whole time. I'm sure I was a real peach at times during some of those injuries. So my parents, my family, I was talking to my dad the other day about this and whether it did or didn't happen, he was proud of me. And again, can't speak enough about my guys I had on my corner this year. You know, being in Atlanta, that staff was unbelievable. George and his staff in the training room kept me on the field. I said it earlier. It wasn't me just rolling out there. I had an unbelievable coach. Staff and man, I gave up one unearned run this year. One. So that means my guys in the field were making unbelievable plays. It seemed like, you know, I'd go out there and pitch 2 or 3 innings, I'd have 5 runs on the board. And then you get to the bullpen, I mean, absolute lockdown. They weren't the best in the league. I don't know who was. So a lot goes into this. And again, like I just can't express how thankful I am for everybody that stuck by me. It would have been easy to kind of jump ship and write me off. And a lot of people texted me through the tough times, and I'm thankful for them, and I'm happy to share this moment with them.
26 of the 30 first place votes go to Chris Sale. Here's the other part of this, though, Mike. And he's being very nice about all that stuff. And right. He's right. Guys played great in the field behind him. But here's what happens when you know you got a guy like this going every fifth day. We're going to be all right. We're going to be in the game. And it gives you confidence to go to the plate and hit. When you have a guy that you're running out there and you're like, dude, he might give up 6 before the third inning. You start thinking about, all right, now we got to press a little bit. And we saw the Braves do that this year with various guys. It didn't matter who was starting. Sale gives you confidence, just like Glavine and Smoltz and Maddux. They're on the hill. We're going to score runs.
Yeah, and it's funny. A guy just hit us up on the text line saying, you really think that Max Fried is gone? I said, yeah. And you and I were kind of chopping it up yesterday. You could argue that it would be Sale, Ronaldo Lopez. Then you could say Schwellenbach. I still think there's a good chance, 50-50, Charlie Morton comes back, and then Canning, the guy we got from the Angels. That would be your 5 until Strider establishes himself again.
Now, you got a starting place. I still want to see some of this money allocated, again, not at shortstop. Oh, yeah. Let's go get another starting pitcher. We saw it in the playoffs and what it means, and congratulations again to Chris Sale. Let's get to the next story.
Story number 2.
Oh, it's our Hawks, man. 120-97 against the Golden State Warriors. Look, Steph can still do things, and he had 23 last night. But Wiggins was the big scorer, 27 points for Wiggins and Golden State. This game, as we said, guys, was really over after the first quarter. They jumped out to a big lead, never really relinquished it, and this is the final call.
So, your final score again from Golden State. The Warriors, 120, and the Hawks, 97.
Hawks had six guys in double figures, by the way.
I apologize. I'm going to cut you off there. No, I'm just going to be a wise ass and say, I hope Steve got a good dinner last night in San Francisco. At least got something out of this trip in the Bay Area. Yeah, it was just brutal. We said it earlier. I watched the first quarter. I go lie to you, listeners. I shut it off because they couldn't hit anything.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was ugly. Yeah. I mean, nobody could hit. And we shot over 42. I think it was like 43. We shot against Sacramento, 43% from three. And we were in the 20s in this game.
So, Friday, Hawks at Bulls. That is their next game. And you'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story number three.
So, Raheem Morris said that the loss to Denver doesn't change the plans for the bye week. Do you believe him? Do you think that after that loss, whatever they had planned, because here's the deal. If you win the game, I believe you. Mm-hmm. Losing the game in the fashion in which we lost the game, do you believe that nothing changed, or do you think they tweaked some things this week? Because I don't believe that nothing changed.
I just, like we said, how much can you tweak? I mean, you can't bring any new guys in. You don't have, the trade deadline's come and went. Practice squad, don't really have anything that's going to help you on the defensive side. I mean, the only thing you could do, as you said, is to get really back to work in the bye week, after you guys, take a break and get healthy. The corners that were banged up. Offensive line has dealing with typical week 12, 13 injuries. Maybe they get better, do a better job. You said it yesterday. I mean, can you coach them up? There's really nothing we can do, Carl. Our team is on the field. If you want to say you're going to blitz more defensively and you feel that that's a component you can do when you're fully healthy in the secondary, okay. I mean, offensive line, you got to block, play action, run the football, establish the run, and then Cousins has time to throw down the field. That's the business model. When we win, that's how it works.
The message has to be the things that we can control, we need to. If you got to make a tackle, you're out there in open space, make the damn tackle. If you get a hand on the quarterback, and we've had a ton of this, we've not gotten him to the ground, we've gotten pressures and hits just as they release the ball, let's finish the play. Mike, these dumb penalties have to stop. We're killing ourselves. Those are the things that you have to handle. And that is what the message has to be. As far as bringing other guys in, you're right. That's not happening. But I do think whatever they were thinking about, hey, we'll win this game in Denver, and then we'll go home, and we just lost this game, and it was ugly as hell. Now I got to reevaluate. And I think that is something that has to happen. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about all the things that are going on around the world of sports, guys. Again, this hour brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. We've got our NFL Blitz on the way. Greg Allman's going to talk about the NFC South and much more as we go around the NFL coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And, oh, by the way, at 4 o'clock, the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley's going to stop by. Mike, how do you think she's feeling today?
Well, I mean, feeling pretty good about beating Tennessee. I'm curious just how hopping mad she's going to be, probably like as much as the rest of Bulldog Nation, over the complete and total lack of respect for the SEC by this College Football Playoff Stooge Committee. See what Barbara's got to say about it and give us some perspective. And I'm curious because Vince, her obviously beloved husband, used to come up with some crazy lines for some of these, like, week before Thanksgiving games.
Like the cupcakes.
Did you
the
know UMass is one of the best punt return teams when they're on the 40-yard line?
He'd have some ridiculous, totally obscure stat that somehow we would pull out to kind of, pump them up. But there's really no way to say that about UMass, if we're honest. The coach got fired.
Yeah. So Barbara's on the way. And also on the way, Mike has an interesting question.
Yes, about the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, and the dogs, listen. They continue to kill it in recruiting. There's no debating that. Mm-hmm. But there is one thing that they're not doing. And we can point our finger to it. And we'll talk about it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.